I need to take a Bible and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is Mother's Day, and like any good husband, we made preparations this week. Now, if you have not, there's still time. There's still time. If you leave the service discreetly, no one's going to judge you if you're heading to CVS or wherever to get your last-minute gift. We made preparations this year. It's not always that I'm that good at that, but we did, and one of my daughters and I went shopping. And my condolences from time to time, especially for things about which you are not an expert. You're going shopping for things that you've never bought for yourself. You're not really sure, you know, all the specifics, the sizes, the colors, any of the things that you're looking for. And so one of my daughters and I wandered into a store this week, vacation, that I needed help. We walked in, and I had that look on my face like, right? And what happened as I reflected on it really stuck with me because not one person approached me. And it wasn't because they were that busy. It wasn't because there were just tons of people in the store and they just couldn't get to me. It was generally that they were distracted with any number of things. They were busy with conversations themselves or talk over. And there is this kind of helpless sense that sets in where you're like, they're not going to acknowledge me. And I didn't have the guts or the courage or perhaps the desperation to just kind of walk up and say like, "Hey, I'm here and I need help." Because you think that the reason that the business exists is what? Why is the business there? To serve the customer, which serving the customer usually helps you make money, right? But yeah, all the people who are working there, if their supervisor were there or the owner of the store were there, walking around kind of doing one of those undercover boss things you've seen, right? Would be terribly disappointed at the fact that nobody approached this man and his daughter to help them and probably to try to even upsell them, right? But businesses, if they're not careful, can lose sight of the reason why they exist in the first place. To help the people who are coming in and to help them find what they need. Now, here's the thing. Churches, if we're not careful, will become the exact same way. Churches, if we're not careful, will fall into the same trap. We'll come together on Sunday mornings or throughout the week, and we'll kind of be so busy with church things that we're doing that we fail to remember that the reason that God's put us here in the first place is to help people. To look out and to see people with eyes of compassion, even as Jesus would see people, and to not brush past them or overlook them, but move toward them with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in such a way that we communicate that we are people in mercy and kindness, that the Lord has moved toward us and met our deepest need in the person of Jesus Christ. And because of our story, because we are like those people that Joel read about in 1 Peter, we were sheep who had strayed, and Jesus in his kindness and his mercy came and sought us so that now we see each other with those same eyes. We're not indifferent, we're not too busy, we're not hard-hearted, but God's given us this sense of compassion and heart for people. Now, it's a thing that you read about in the Bible, really, that passage from Ezekiel is this reprimand of the leaders of God's people because they were not doing their job. They were not living into God's call upon their life to actually care about the people of God and to proclaim his word to them, this abundant life that God would have for them to know. And instead, they were just worried about themselves. And as long as all the metrics were okay, as long as they were being fed by the sacrifices that were being offered, as long as things were kind of moving along, there was no real sense of concern for the people they were supposed to be shepherding. Read Ezekiel 34. And there's this real indictment of the leaders of Israel that they were not living into God's call upon their lives. And a very similar situation was happening in Jesus' day. When you get to John chapter 10, does anybody remember what happened in John chapter 9? You can look down there, right? It's the open notebook quiz. What happened was that Jesus healed a man who had been born blind. Now, at the risk of making you terribly uncomfortable, if someone was healed of their blindness today, would we all agree that that was a good thing? Just show of hands. Feel free to raise your hands. It's the most Pentecostal we'll get all year, right? Yeah. We would all agree that that's a good thing. But the disciples had asked that question, why is his sin? Was it his parents' sin? And Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath. Right? He healed the man on the Sabbath. And so all the Pharisees are mad and angry, and they're worried about who is this guy. He's not keeping the law. He's not doing things in keeping with the regulations that we've been given. And the Pharisees had become these people that were not gateway of God. They were people who were the ones who would say, no, you can't come here. You're on the outside. You haven't done enough. You weren't born into the right family. You're unrighteous for all these different ways. Or, hey, come back on authorized days. Come back on Sunday if you got a withered hand or you can't walk or you can't see. Even if we could help you, today's not the day. And if you were the person who needed help and you came and they could not to because it was not the authorized day, how cared for and loved would you feel? Zero. Praise God, more of that. Man, we might be here all day. Revival might be breaking out. Zero care. And Jesus comes into that kind of world and he totally blows up the paradigm of the religious establishment. And they are angry and they are upset and they are mad at this guy who's coming and not doing things the way that they're supposed to do them. And when you get here to John chapter 10, Jesus is with the Pharisees, kind of the gloves are coming off at this point. And he's getting in direct conversation with them, see the error of their ways, and in a way he's saying, y'all are like the people in Ezekiel 34. Y'all have gotten to a point where you're supposed to be leading these people and preaching and teaching God's word and showing them the kingdom, but you don't care anymore. It's all about you and your thing and making sure that the temple keeps going and making sure all the regulations are followed, and there's no heart for you anymore for the people. And Jesus says that they saw the people as units. They saw the people as these things that were going to keep the religious establishment going. And as long as they were doing the thing, they were going to be okay. But when they didn't kind of keep the rules and regulations and keep the religious establishment going, then there was going to be a problem. And they were threatened at Jesus' ministry because he comes and he preaches the gospel of the kingdom in such a way that he exposes the hypocrisy and he exposes the ways in which the people who were leaders of God's people, they weren't being faithful. And there's one episode in the Gospels where Jesus, he looks at the crowds and he has compassion for them. And why does he have compassion for them? Because they are like sheep without a what? Shepherd. They don't know where they're supposed to go. They don't know how to find the people who were sent to show them aren't doing it. And so Jesus comes in here and he says that he is the door. He is the one through whom you enter into this eternal and abundant life. And Jesus is clear, and we'll look at it next week. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There is no hope of eternal life or abundant life apart from faith in Jesus. And Jesus came into this world so that you and I might have an abundant life through faith in him. And the thief comes only to what? Steal and kill and destroy. And I will tell you, if you had asked me as late as 2 weeks ago, who is the thief in that passage? You know what would I have said? I've been like, that's Satan. That's the devil who's wanting to kind of keep us away from experiencing eternal and abundant life. And I still agree that he is that one. But Jesus here in this passage, I think, has more directly in view the religious leaders who had lost sight of their love and care for the people. They were exploiting them and they were taking advantage of them. And they were not laying down their lives, as it were, so that they might experience the life that God would have for them to know. And Jesus comes in and he shows and he proves himself to be the good shepherd. How do you know that he's the good shepherd? When the wolf comes, does he run? No. Jesus says, that's how you can see the ones that aren't true. The ones that are just hired hands. The ones that are just here for the paycheck, right? When the wolf comes, see ya. Incidentally, I worked at Yellowstone National Park and they would show us videos of buffalo charging people. One incident where the dad had the family out in front of the RV and the buffalo charges. And the dad, rather than gathering the family and getting them into the thing and laying down his life, he was the first one in the RV, baby. Right? But we know instinctively that's not right. And so Jesus says, I prove that I am the good shepherd because I'm going to lay my life down for the sheep. That if at any point we question for us, if at any point we question whether or not he's the one that's leading us into eternal and abundant life through faith in him, he proves it by laying down his life on the cross, and he says, and I will take it up again. Mount Brook Baptist Church, why are we here? Why are we here? I think that's a question for us to ponder. Why are we here? Are we here just to be here? Are we here just so we hope that in 50 more years we're still here? Right. To kind of keep things going and we feel better about being here than not. We would be sad if we drove down Monta Vallo Road and there was no church there anymore and it was condominiums or it was a shopping center or it was a whatever. We're here not just to exist. We're here not just to keep going. But we're here, I think, in light of John chapter 10, to help people. To help people experience eternal and abundant life through faith in Jesus Christ. We're here to help people. This room today. There's a lot of people here. And each person that's here is created in the image of God. Each person here is someone for whom Christ died. And by the very virtue of the fact that they are image bearers of God and there's someone for whom Christ died, they have to matter to us. They have to matter to us. other people is that they are not as perfect and righteous as me. Do you ever feel that way? Just like, man, I tell you, I love people in general. How many of you love people in general? Like, you love humanity. It's like, how many of you love the person that cuts you off in traffic, or how many of you love the people that you're most closely in relationship with? I can tell you, I can be here at church, and we're all going to be nice and kind to each other, values and customs. But when I walk in the back door of my house after work, there are no social norms and values and customs. You ever felt that way? And my sin is most exposed, and my lack of Christ-likeness is most exposed. And God's called me not to love humanity in particular, but he's called me to love people in particular, right? Not people in particular. And to see them with eyes of compassion and love and move toward them in their sin and their frustration and their shortcomings and seeing more of myself in them than not and be amazed at what God has done for me in Jesus Christ that I might have eternal and abundant life through faith in him. And that at every point along the way, my heartbeat to help people experience eternal and abundant life through faith in Jesus Christ. And whatever that looks like, I start with that premise and I move toward them. Imagine I've done this thought experiment that if one of you were to walk in my office one day and you were to say, hey, how would I experience the life that God would have for me to know? If you could just boil it down for me, like what do I really need the eternal and abundant life that God would have for me to know? And I'd start by, first, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then, you need to grow in your love for God. That nothing is more important in your life than loving God more. And I want you to think about how you would answer this question, not in public or in front of other people. But if someone asked you, do you love God, what would you say? And then if they ask you, why do you love God? And I'm convinced in my own heart and life with others that I talk to that there is this initial, well, yeah, I love God, sure, the sun came up, right? Take it for granted. But I wonder if we're cultivating a heart that truly loves the Lord. And in both the New Old Testaments and the New Testament, that seems to be a central thing that God's concerned about. So what if at Mountain Brook Baptist Church and our school and our discipleship efforts and Project 119 and all the things that we do discipleship-wise, that before us is this great aim to help people love God more. Not just to know more about the Bible, not just to be able to say, I know where the Gospels are, I can tell you what they are in order, I can tell you where Jerusalem is and where Galilee is, and I can do all these things, that ultimately those things are only good insofar as they help us know God more and love him more deeply. And we're not just aimlessly doing a bunch of stuff, but we're praying that God gives us a deeper love for the Lord. And then I think you need to love other people. You need to love people in your family and in your church family. That if you want to experience the full, abundant life that God would have for you to know, you need to love people well, especially those that are hard to love. Right? And as you move toward them in love, not just in word, but in deed and in truth, God does this powerful thing to transform our hearts so that we see and understand the gospel more deeply. You need to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You need to love other people like you love yourself, starting with the people most closely in your family, and then here in this church family. I share this with the deacons on the idea that why would we ask you to serve in Sunday school, or why would we ask you to run a stream, or why would we ask you to be a greeter? If it is just a thing to do, just to get it done and check it off, then it's not worth your time. But if it is an expression of your love for other people and your heart that they connect with Jesus Christ and his people, then now we got something to worry about. Now we got something worth doing. And then you need to love the world. You need to love the people in your neighborhood. You need to lead the people in the greater Birmingham area. You need to love people even to the ends of the earth. And there are people all around us, you all. I'm convinced of it more every day. That they're pursuing life according to their own wisdom or the best that they can figure out, who don't have a shepherd. And I can just tell you, it's not working out for them. Right? And maybe you're here in this room and you're like, if I wasn't inhibited, I would yell out 100%. Like my friend in the back. And his mercy to remind us at every point along the way that we're here to help people experience eternal and abundant life through faith in Jesus Christ, to grow in their love for God, for their love for one another, and their love for the world. And everything that we do as a church somehow connects and is a vehicle toward that end. I think we would be blessed if God lets us live into this calling upon our lives as individual Christians and collectively as in this community and across the world, people would start saying, man, those people at Mountain Root Baptist Church, they will do anything to help you connect to Jesus. They will pursue you. They will not give up on you. Fall off the wagon. They keep pursuing you and pulling you back in. But they have this deep and abiding concern for people that flows from their understanding of what God has done for them in Jesus Christ. People don't exist for us. We exist to serve them. So let's pray that God continues to give us that here. I want you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're the good for us. Even for us. And Lord, we are hard-hearted. We are not even people in our own more honest moments that we would pursue and love. So Lord, we pray that you would give us a growing heart, that you would conform us more into the image of the good shepherd who's laid down his life that we might have eternal and abundant life. And if there are places in our hearts and our lives individually or corporately where we are more like Pharisees than we are like our Lord Jesus, Lord, that you would graciously root those things out of our hearts and out of our church, and that you would give us people reconciled to you. We offer this prayer in Christ's name.